All right, does this work? I think it does. Okay, amazing. So, I'm Ondřej, and I am building images at Red Hat, and today I would like to talk about building ISOs. So, you know, ISOs, these things that in the past you downloaded them, you burned them on your CD, then you plugged them into the CD drive, and you installed your system. Nowadays you usually put them on a USB disk, which, you know, creates a lot of friction because CDs and USB disks are different. Or you just plug them in a VM. So this is an ISO. And this talk is about building them from, you know, container images. It's not only because of my t-shirt. It's also because a lot of people nowadays think, and I agree with them, that using container images as the source of truth for their operating systems and for their machines is a good idea. Basically how this works is that if you are not aware, but I'm sure you are, is that, you know, when you install a machine from such a distribution, you basically get a container and then you explode it on a partition drive, and it just works, right? Like, you need to do some special bits with bootloader, but that's it. And then when you update the system, you basically pull another container and you kind of somehow reboot into it. That's basically the story. But the container image is really the source of truth. This will be kind of the motif of this presentation. And yeah, there are like many parties who actually did it. I think that the most popular one right now is Universal Blue, and especially Buzzite. With the demise of Windows 10, it got really popular, right? Like, everyone wants to game on Linux. It's an amazing world in 2026. But there's Helium OS, which is kind of like, I think it's based on CentOS Stream with KDE or GROM, I don't know. We at Red Hat, we actually have our image mode based on it, which is basically RHEL, but, you know, shipped in containers. And all of these three projects are using Bootsy, which is kind of the backend for it. It's the software that that, you know, does the container pulling and then exploding and all these things, updating and these things. But there are also projects that use containers, but they don't use Bootsy, like Kairos. I think the next talk is about Kairos, right? In this room, or Elemental by Rancher. So apparently, it's so popular that we have even like multiple competing solutions. So yeah, but the problem that I saw is that there is no good tooling for ISOs. I mean, in the Bootsy world, oh, you are nodding, amazing. So maybe we fix it, we will see. We have, for example, in the Bootsy world, and I will relate to the Bootsy world a lot because that's where I live. We have a good tooling for, you know, creating like disk images and installing them and whatever. But for actually creating these ISOs, it still kinda sucks, to be honest. ISOs are somewhat different, right? Like, ISOs isn't a disk image. Like, there are some specialties that you need to handle. I wanted to mention some existing solutions. I will start with one that's not even a solution, but I just want to mention it for the sake of telling this whole story. So, about 2 years ago, when Bootsy became a thing, we in Image Builder, which is the software that I'm working on, we were tasked with, you know, creating the installation experience, and we came up with this weird ISO that is, we thought that it would be a great idea that, you know, people, they just want to install the container on the Bootsy container on their machine. So we provided a very guided and opinionated thing. Basically, you just call something like Image Builder Build, Bootsy Image Builder Build ISO, and it would take a container and does weird, and it would do weird things. Like, we actually not use the container in the process. We just picked some parts from it and like actually created the root tree again from scratch. And there were no customizations, and it was bad because, for certain use cases it's good, but we kind of failed to implement what people expected from this world. Like, people expect that they can do all sorts of customizations in their container. Like, they can, you know, override whatever they want, you know, custom kernels, custom packages, custom whatever. And we provided a thing with almost no customization. So, yes, it solves a solution, but we realized that many people, they want to customize also the ISO, and yeah, I kind of somewhat hate it, but it was my idea to implement it, so it's fine that I hate it actually. And the second project that I want to mention here is this wonderful name, Titanoboa, I think. It's a like ancient snake, huge dinosaur snake. This is a project made by the Ublu folks, and it's like a just file and a GitHub action. And it is much better because it actually you feed it the container image, the you know that usually the one that you want to install. So for example, Bazite, and you create the ISO out of it. So you know already the customizations are in. However, like Titanoboa, it's not there yet, I think, because it actually modifies the container image in the process, and it's actually tied to Fedora. Like there are literally in the source code like DNF install Dracut live or something like this. So you know it's tied to the RPM ecosystem, and I simply don't have a way to simply like when you know before converting the container image to an ISO, I don't have an easy way to just put them and run the container and inspect it, you know, just play around, see if everything is there, because like the logic is hidden in the Titanoboa sources, so the container is still not the source of truth for this. So yeah, I think that neither of these solutions are there yet. So now let's step back a bit and think of what we really want. And let's actually think about the disk images, because I think that these are like solved issue kind of, I think. And basically the process, it consists of two steps when we are talking about, you know, shipping operating system as containers. So firstly, you build a container image somehow, doesn't matter how. And it defines all content. It's the source of truth for your distribution, operating system, however you want to call it. And then you convert it to a disk image. It's always a two-step process, right? So basically that means exporting a tarball into a partition disk in the right way. This is important because not everything can be expressed in a tarball by default, right? Like not everything that it's installed on your machine can be like easily expressed as a tarball, for example, partitioning, right? But we actually thought about it at like our tooling image builder. It has a subword for JSON that you include in the container file, and the image builder just reads it and partitions the disk accordingly. So the container image became the source of truth also for the partitioning. And yeah, the bootloader, for example, like bootloader, I mean, okay, in the world of just FE booting, it's like almost everything is in the file system, except that you need to mark the FE partition in the right way. But, legacy booting, right? Like, the legacy booting process in a container file when you just need to put the right blob at the right place at the disk. Like this is how booting works in the legacy world. So, but we fortunately invented bootupd. We just can handle it. Like it's a standard it's a tool that like declaratively describes how to put the right bootloader at the right places. So now, moving to the ISO world, I think it should be the same thing. So you should be able to build a container image, and it serves as a source of truth. And you know, it's a container image, so I can pull and run it. I can push it into a registry. I can sign it. Like, you can do all sorts of cool stuff with a container image, right? And then you need to convert it to an ISO in the right way. And the right way in the terms of ISOs means that. So the basic thing here is that you know when the boot process finished, the goal is that your container image, thank you, that your container image is the root file system, you know, that is in the image. And usually in the world of ISO, that means that you put the whole thing in a SCOSHFS archive or ROFS or whatever you want. SCOSHFS is the most common one. So That's the easy part. But you know, for ISOs, you actually SquashFS is just one part, but you also need the kernel to be there, the bootloader, the NRAMFS, and you need to configure the bootloader, you need to set the ISO label, all sorts of things. And basically, I realized that we need a contract between these two steps, right? Like, it needs to be defined in where you put all these important bits that are needed in the ISO, and they are outside of the main SquashFS archive. And so the converter knows where to find them and where to, you know, how to structure the ISO. So we need a contract. And this is exactly what we defined. So I called it a container native ISO contract. Yeah, it's maybe a stupid name, but it's a basically a very tiny specification that allows a container image to be the source of truth for, you know, all these ISO weird quirks. And the thing that I very naturally did is that it very much resembles how Bootsy containers work. So, you know, I will talk about it later. And it is opinionated, but for pragmatic reasons, and only when, you know, there are pragmatic reasons. And the big thing is, of course, the bootloader. I mean, there are many, many bootloaders, but I know that some of them are really cool, you know, but some of them work everywhere, and that's grub. So, I'm sorry, that's just true, I think. Currently, the spec just hardcodes that you need to use, you know, the usual Torito hybrid ISO setup, so it's bootable using legacy and FE on from USB drives and CD-ROMs. And grub2 is the bootloader. It works. Yeah. And the spec describes where to put the right files into the image, into the container image, so the converter then that, you know, also is a part of this contract, where it can find it, and it, the spec also defines where the converter puts them inside the image, because certain things are kinda, you know, mangled together. So the important bits, you know, of course, you know, shim grub2, so the kernel, the bootloader bits, kernel and its arguments, where the NRAMFS is in the container image, and of course, where it will end up in the ISO. Then a subset of grub2 settings. This is something that I would like feedback on. The ISO label, and then SquashFS, the contract, you know, so the contract is that, of course, the SquashFS, the whole container image becomes the SquashFS, but the contract describes where the SquashFS archive will end up on the ISO. And this is the spec. It's fairly short, and I will give you the link. And we also implemented the converter for the spec, so we don't have to implement the container bits, right? Because we can just use a container file or whatever is your favorite container building engine or way of building containers. But we also implemented the converter, and you know, I work on Image Builder, so we implemented an Image Builder and the new Bootsy generic isotype. It's a stupid name because we are actually not that tied to Bootsy, but we will need to probably change it in the future. We will see. And yeah, project placement. If you've never heard of Image Builder, I'm sorry, the name is fairly generic. It's a wonderful tool for building disk images, ISOs, and more for Fedora, CentOS, Trima, and its derivatives. It's used for some of the official artifacts of all these distributions. And it supports both like the standard mutable stuff or even like Bootsy stuff. So if you want to build some images, just visit the link and use it. It's pretty neat. Also runs in Podman. So it's great if you're actually using one of these immutable distributions, because you can just use Podman and it works. And you don't have to install anything. Anyhow, so let's look at the example. So this is a very basic container that will actually fulfill the contract. So I am using Bezite as the base, which is amazing because I told you before that it's based on the way how Bootsy containers are laid out. So and a Bezite container, well, it contains a tree, an operating system tree that can already boot, right? Like it has systemd, all the services, it can run KDE or GNOME, or in the case of Bezite, there's KDE. So it's perfect. So kernel solved, amazing. Now you need to put some extra packages in that. for example, like Dracut Life, Life Syscripts, this is needed. So the Life environment works because ISOs are weird, right? Like they are read only by default, but systems like to write. So you need to put like overlayFS over the squashFS. Yeah, it's a bit messy. But these are like some packages needed for it. Grub2FA, you know, the base images of Bazaar, they don't have the Grub2 modules for CD booting, so an extra package. And then Xoriso, I don't know, and ISO MD5SUM. Why? The default experience is that we use the container not only as the source of truth for the squashFS and for the ISO, but also as the build root, which is a very sane default, and I like it because there is much lower risk of having a mismatch, right? Like if you just use a random squashFS, MK squashFS executable as the way to create the squashFS, your kernel might not understand it because there would be a mismatch, but usually in one distribution, like the maintainers try to you know, have it in line. Well, squashFS is you know, boring, but doesn't change, but we saw issues in Image Builder, for example, with XFS, like when there was a new feature, like the kernel couldn't read it and we had to fix it. So, but I think that generally it's a great idea to mix that. I will talk later about when it's not desirable, but yeah, stay tuned. Then you need to regenerate InitRAMFS because the default InitRAMFS that's shipped in Bazaar, it cannot boot from an ISO because it doesn't have the right modules, so just add a module and that's it. Then there is like a weird line for fixing the bootloader location. There was a bootup update in Fedora, like they are modernizing the boot stack and it kind of surprised us, so you'll fix this in the spec for sure. Yeah, so that's the InitRAMFS part, and you know, basically, the spec says that the user lib modules kernel InitRAMFS, that's the path where the spec says that it expects the InitRAMFS. So that's the connection between the spec and what we are doing here. This is just so we boot a live KDE session, easy peasy. And this is currently how we design to configure the Grub2 bootloader. So, we went quite simple for now, but basically what usually people want is to customize the entries and timeout. Like that's actually what most distributions care about, it feels like. So you can just define it here in a simple YAML. I would like feedback if YAML is good, not, but this is what we use for now. And that's it. And this fulfills the contract and it will boot, let me just show you. And if you build this container file and you use this small image builder command to convert it to an ISO, it will give you an ISO from a container. It's quite simple, right? And the container is actually the source of truth for this because there is very little secret special, well not secret, but special sauce in image builder. It literally tries to take as much as the source from the container as possible. Like we make assumptions about some of the layout bits and grub, but otherwise everything comes from the container and you can push it, you can pull it, it's a container. So it's quite simple. And yeah, as I told you earlier, Image Builder is also available as a container image, so you just need Podman. So it is really simple to run this in a GitHub Action because you just basically, it's two Podman calls in there. And the current state. So This is currently still something that we mark as experimental, and like the docs isn't finished currently. It's only in my small repository. So let's go there and explore what we did there. And now comes the hard part. Cool. Okay, so this is the small GitHub repository. Basically, it contains the contract in the README. It's Andrei Budaj, by the way, /bootsy-isos. It's in the thank you. It's in the slides are in pre-talk, so you can find them there. I'm lost. Sorry. So this is the spec that I copied into the slides, and there are a few examples already in the repository. So there is Bazaar, but there is like full Bazaar. So basically, Bazaar nowadays it uses Titanoboa. to create ISO. And I basically did the same thing with my approach as the Ublu folks do. But, you know, the container is now the source of truth for the ISO, and it's amazing. Like, it contains a KDE environment, there are Flatpaks pre-installed, and there is an offline installer. So we can already do everything that Titanoba does for Buzzine, I'm pretty sure. But there's Kinoite, which is Fedora with KDE, a mutable one. There is Bluefin LTS, which I was quite excited to get it. It's a live environment of CentOS Stream plus 10 plus GNOME. And the cool part is that actually in the world of CentOS Stream and RHEL, we don't have many live images. And this is a live image. And this is maybe, well, I know that some sticks build live images. But I'm just proud that we have now a CentOS Stream 10 proud live image. But the really cool part is that the spec is very distro agnostic. So there are small, tiny Debian and Ubuntu containers because, if you noticed, like, what we need is kernel, anydramfs, grub, like, all distributions have this, right? So you can just build whatever you want. So I just built some examples of Debian and Ubuntu, and they are already there with container files. So that's pretty cool. And the last one is a Fedora installer. It's not used as much nowadays, but, you know, previously you have an ISO that directly booted into an installer, and this is it. So it's a very minimal Fedora installer that just, in a text mode, it deploys a bootc container. I have 2 minutes. Okay. And the repository also, like, it has all the GitHub actions for building, so I'm actually building all these wrong window. You know, presenter mode is cool until it isn't. So it has all the GitHub actions for building this stuff in GitHub actions, workflows for building in GitHub actions. So we are actually building all of these images on every commit, uploading to Backblaze. And it just works because it just needs Podman. So very, very simple in a GitHub actions environment. And we don't have time. I mean, okay. We don't have much time. So this is the Debian thing. I just have a few virtual machines, but you probably already saw some virtual machines. This will boot Debian in a bit. This is the Bluefin LTS thing. Yeah, you probably saw GNOME before. This is Buzzite. Where is this? Here. This is Buzzite. The cool thing here is, of course, that there is the installer. So I can just click next, and I will end up with Buzzite installed on my virtual machine. This is what I built with the stuff that I created. And okay, so if you are interested, go to the upstream thing. If you want to get in touch, go to our Matrix channel. The spec isn't finalized. We are looking for feedback. We would really love to make this useful for distribution developers. Future plans. Bootabd, maybe we can merge this with Bootabd at some point, but, you know, Bootabd, it focuses on disk images, so this is something that I would like to discuss with the team. Custom build routes, very quickly. Currently, we use the same build route for the same image folder build route and for the ISO, but if you really want to make a minimal ISO, you don't want to have to ISO in it, so I would like to support custom build routes, like you can decouple these two things. Maybe multiple kernel support. I heard from some people that they would like to have an ISO multiple kernels. Maybe some SquashFS option, ArrowFS, different bootloaders. We can discuss all of that. And big thanks to Simon de Vlieger. He unfortunately had to leave this morning. He was my brother in crime. Michael, I don't know if he's here, but he laid out the basics for this. The image builder team, the lovely folks that helped me do this, and the Universal View community. I don't know if anyone is from there is here, but I read your source codes like 100 times. You are doing an amazing job. Anyway, thank you, and yeah.